Our scripture for this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is a very familiar. Maybe it was a scripture that you had read at your wedding. And Paul writes, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that cannot or that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfection disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love."
Thank you. As I put this together, it came bit by bit, and I know that God was helping me piece it together. And that's part of God's love. He guides us through what we need to be doing. God is love. Jesus loves us. What do we have to do to be loved by Jesus and God? Absolutely nothing but exist. God's love is unconditional. We can't earn it or buy it. But by knowing He loves us, you and me, we have two choices. We can accept His love and act accordingly, or ignore it. We see God's love in how He gave His only Son as a sacrifice for our sin. We can't pay that debt, but Jesus could and did. Jesus' love is shown by how He cared for those He met. He healed the outcast lepers, touching the untouchable. He calmed the sea when His disciples feared for their lives. And from last week we heard, He spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well. Fully knowing her background and situation, He offered her living water, salvation, knowing it was unthinkable for a Jewish man to speak to a Samaritan woman, let alone ask her for a drink of water. But that opened the conversation to His offering her living water. He saw faith in an officer of Herod coming to ask Jesus to help him with his dying son, and Jesus healed his son who had been near death. He forgave the adulterous woman the church leaders brought to him. They said she should be stoned. Jesus said, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." One by one, they walked away. Technically, Jesus was the only one who could have cast a stone, but He chose not to. Instead, Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." When a multitude that had listened to His message all day long grew hungry, Jesus fed the crowd of over 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. There were baskets full left over. Even hanging on the cross, He comforted and accepted the robber who He knew was guilty. The man knew he was guilty of his crime, but Jesus was not guilty of his. Jesus told him He would be with him in paradise that day. Many more examples are found in Scripture in the way to illustrate to us how God's love and Jesus' love is. He saw the needs and met them. He did it with love and respect. He didn't look down on them or scold them. Jesus treated them with love and respect, not condoning any wrong that they had committed. He opened a way for them to be willing to accept him. How do you and I show respect and love for those that we meet throughout the week? Is my heart and yours open to see the angry clerk as one who had been harped on all day long by customers? Or the frightened child who had wandered away from their parents in the crowd? An ailing person beside you, hurting in ways that we can't see? The person who looks out of place by their status, cultural differences, or situation? Do we look at them with love and respect, or disgust and judgment? What do you and I want them to see in us? Because we are Christians, we represent Jesus to those around us. Last month, my brother had a 90th birthday party for our dad at his house. Some family came, and there were also a few others, like his former students, that were there. He taught machine trades at Elyria and then Medina vocational schools during his career. These students were from as many years as 50 years ago. It touched my heart to see the impact he had on them. His yearbook from 1 year that he taught was filled with notes from the year's students. Some thanked him for putting up with them. Others acknowledged his acceptance of them. One who attended the party shared with my sister and I the respect our dad had for him. And my dad's expecting the best from his class changed the direction he went in his life. He still keeps in touch with my dad often. As a father, I know he loves me. But as a child, I figured parents had to love their kids. Since then, I have seen that that isn't necessarily true in all families. Seeing that he looks at those around him, even beyond his family, with love and respect, explains how others interact with him. Dad is following Jesus' examples. Unconditional concern for others. It can have a positive effect on them. There are many people who don't know Jesus' unconditional love. We're the ones who are showing Jesus' love, or not, by how we treat them. It seems like there are a lot of angry and hurting people around us. By living Jesus' example of loving the person even while not loving the wrong action, we can reflect our Savior's love. In Romans 13:8-10, Paul says, "Let no doubt or no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt of to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." This was written by the Apostle Paul. Jesus met him on his way to Damascus as he was going to bring believers of the way, or followers of Christ, back to Jerusalem to persecute them. The resurrected Jesus asked him, "Why are you persecuting me?" You can read all about this event in Acts 9. Paul experienced Jesus' unconditional love that day. And if you look at all the different letters he wrote that are in the New Testament, you can see that that truly had an effect on his life. I had an example shown to me one day in a Bible study, but I don't remember which one, or I would give credit to the person that wrote it. Today, the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 was read. There is part of that chapter in the bulletin. If you look inside, it's in there. We're going to do the other part of liturgy now. We'll say the words together. I had this example shown to me. We'll read the scripture first as it was in the scripture, how it appears with the word love. Then next, since Jesus is love, they replaced the word love with Jesus. And you'll find it still seems like it's on track. Lastly, on our insert, I put the word I. This helps us see where we are and where we need to adjust our thinking and behavior about loving others. So if you would repeat these with me. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. Jesus is not rude. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. He also protects us, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Jesus never fails. And now we'll look at the last one. Do you and I love as Jesus showed us through his actions? I am patient. I am kind. I do not envy. I do not boast. I am not rude. I am not self-seeking. I am not easily angered. I keep no record of wrongs. I do not delight in evil, but rejoice in the truth. I always protect, always trust, always hope, always persevere. I never fail. All right, now. Got to get the pages right. I'm guessing that I'm not the only one that had trouble saying the last version honestly. We are not perfect, but we're moving on to perfection with God's help. Let's pray. Father God, we are not perfect. In fact, far from it in many ways. But by your love and your Son's example, how we can love one another, we can grow closer to where you want us to be as your children. Thank you for accepting us, then working with us to bring others to you as well. Amen.